Episode 514, December 21st, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
please
are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
I'm staring at something precious right now, Joe, the Mac Bergson family Christmas card.
Let me tell you something. You're going to want to yell out that door that we've started to my father, because that it seems to be an extremely important. Hold on.
Hey, he just Dad. Jumped in. He just jumped in.
Oh, he's on. Okay. Oh, no. Oh, great. Now he's going to stop what he's doing to walk in here.
You just messed that up.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I guess Mac mailed a card to me as well here to your home, to Gramps' home. And I opened it, and Gramps made a point to tell me that he got two cards from Mac.
The same card?
I believe one.
Hey, hold on. Yes, Dad, do you have a question?
No. See? Oh. See, Gramps has a new hearing aid, so when you yell, yeah, he can hear
so
you.
So I was yelling to tell you we're on, and as soon as I said, oh, I should, Robbie said, you're already on, I go, he's going to come in here, I can tell you that. So I did. I did. We're on.
I love this card, Mac, and the Your hair is a mess because you're outside here and it's probably windy, and your wife's hair is flawless.
Yeah, and the kids are all, look at them on the back. They're wearing suits. Yeah. Well, this kid is.
But that picture in the front, that's the classic. Every woman looks at how she looks in the photo, and that's the one that you take.
Yeah, she doesn't care that he's even in it.
Right. She looks stunning, and you look homeless. Yeah. So there you go. Congrats.
No, you we've talked about this before. I think it was like episode 4.
Where episode 4?
You definitely want a girl out of your league, because remember you thought Tawana was going to get her foot hacked off?
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're like, you wouldn't keep dating her if her foot was hacked off, because then she's in your league.
Right, exactly. Of course I could date a hot, deformed girl.
Oh, of course.
Well, happy holidays. Thank you, Bergson family.
I got one of those cards, too, FYI. Thank
you,
Mac.
Yeah, we all got one. As a matter of fact, it's up on the family wall, and I sent the video again to Mac Bergson, where pictures of his mother, his grandparents, all. By the way, there's three pictures of my ex-wife up there. None of my current wife. She lives here. My current wife. Whatever. It is what it is. But anyway, I was on the air this morning on 98 Rock. I'm filling in for Justin, and Scott Reardon, who's JSS, is Justin, Scott, and Spiegel. Spiegel doesn't do the first half hour.
He's too good for you guys.
He's preparing for his news, so it's just me and whoever I'm filling in for, the other person.
5:30 to 6.
Exactly. So I get on there. We also do a FaceTime call, which I always think is weird, right? Like, I didn't shower. You know what I mean? When we're doing a FaceTime call, Scott's not on it.
Who's
not
on it?
It's me, Misha, who's the producer, and then the assistant producer, Ben Hancock, and Josh.
Okay.
And we're getting ready to get started.
What's the point of this? Like a pre-show pep talk?
Rundown? I think they're going to talk about what we're going to... I don't know.
Okay.
You know. Anyway, we get on. No Scott. So it's me. It's the Joe Robinson. So there's no Justin. There's no Scott. There's no Spiegel. I'm the only one, right? So I'm like, all right, I can do this. I said, hey, Ben Hancock on the board, and then I just start explaining what's going on. And all I do is I have a conversation with Ben. I swear it's not 8 seconds long. It's just so I can get into whatever I'm going to get into, because I literally have to fill until Scott's ready to go.
Right.
So I ask Ben a question, he answers, and then as I respond to that, do what I always do. I'm just filibustering. I'm talk. I'm talking for about 5 minutes. Scott gets on. Scott goes, "Hey, Joe, you violated rule number one. While Ben's trying to fix something, don't talk to him." So I was like, "No, motherfucker. No." I said one thing to him in order to transition into me talking with nobody else on the show, right? Completely unprepared, and I just start doing it. Don't come on and criticize me. I'm already put in a panic situation, and I'm handling it. By the way, somebody on the show is available, Josh. He's just not getting on.
Right.
It's just me. So they're like, fuck him or whatever. And then as soon as Scott gets on, who I love, he then takes a shot at me. I'm like, I don't know if I deserve that. Yeah, on the air. I'm like, I'm not sure I deserve that, but okay, I guess.
Did you respond on the
air? I said, what are you talking about? I said, just like I said to you, I said one thing to him so I could just start going, but I didn't.
Did Ben chime in?
Ben didn't say anything because I kept trying to get Ben in trouble, because I go, is Ben going to get in trouble for this? Is he going to get talked to? What's going to happen? What's the consequences? You know.
Now, who's in studio and who's at home? I know you're at home.
I'm at home. Scott's at home. Josh is at home. Ben is in the studio and Misha is in the jock lounge. That's it. And
so there are only two people in the building.
Well, there might be more people in the building.
Yes.
But for that show, sure. Only. And I love Ben, too. He runs the board for the pregame with me. And by the way, you know what else Scott did? Let me tell you what else he did.
We're on a roll.
So after
Scott
took a shot at me, and I'm like, okay, he's chewing. It's like, good God, man. You're going to take a shot at me? And somebody said, what's Scott eating? They tweeted it. So anyway,
well,
whatever.
This feels like a blow-it-off week, right? It's the week of Christmas. I mean, are they supposed to work Monday to Thursday? I mean, they're not on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on Thursday. So Justin's on quote-unquote vacation.
All right.
But Justin's
staycation?
Like, he's like, hey, man, I'm available if you guys want to do something. I go, well, no, I have to work because you're not working. But I guess it was one of those use it or lose it vacations.
Gotcha.
So he had to do it, but it was fun.
You know, fuck yourself, you fucking asshole.
Who's that? Me?
That's really going to set the tone for a great week of shows with Scott, Joe.
No. Scott and I, we love each other. We're always...
Clearly.
Matter of fact, let me tell you something. Can I tell you something?
You can.
What a fucking piece of shit.
Stop, Robbie. So I said to Scott, I was listening to Behind the Curtain, and I heard him do an impersonation of his parents.
All right.
And it's funny, and it's good. Okay? And I'm like, you know what? I've never told him that. I want to make sure he knows how funny I think that is and what a good job I think he's doing. So I literally text him. I said, hey, I haven't told you this, but that thing you do where you impersonate your parents, that's really funny. Next thing you know, I look, he's doing a little skit of that on their television show. So okay. I said to him today, I go, did I have anything to do with that? And he said, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so,
you're now producing for their Justin
well,
Scott Spiegel
funny.
Shouldn't be on TV. TV.
I don't. I didn't do anything other than probably say, all right, well, that gives me the confidence to know that people are really enjoying this. That's all. I mean, nothing other than that.
Did you want to tell Robbie or myself something that we do that you like?
I usually do, right? You know, I'm pretty sure I compliment you. I know, you know, Rob's been writing the All Things AFC North. I've been just doing them. This past week, I said, oh, let me give Rob some credit. So I gave Rob credit for it, and he goes, oh, you wanted to distance yourself from some piece of it.
Well, because it was based on the Steelers receiver Juju Smith-Schuster doing a dance for TikTok before the game last week against Buffalo on their logo, and it was some song that we've never heard of because we're old.
We were reading the lyrics,
right? Somebody named Pop Hanna, no clue, right? I'm sure it's a massive hit in the world of people that listen.
I'm sure
to
that. Katie knows it.
She, I would imagine.
I'm looking up Pop Hanna right now. Pop Hanna. Hey, boom, musical artist. Oh, Adderall, that's the song,
that's
right?
The big song, yeah. Apparently, it's a TikTok dance craze.
It's called Adderall Corvette. I would ask Robbie just to go on YouTube and play it, but literally it's probably like asking him to run around the block naked, so I won't do that.
So I did my top five songs that I would want to do to like intimidate or to psych me out or to go to the opposing team's logo. And I only threw on that Run DMC song because you like that lyric.
I do. Because
then you shit on it.
Not really. My Adidas isn't very intimidating. That's why I kind of wanted to let people know, hey, I actually know their music. But
right.
I did want to say that line, so I don't think I really took too bad a shot at you.
But I just thought it was funny. You've never done that when I've written them.
Right, distance myself from the answer. Yeah, so My Idea Assault, by the way, is one of the songs they sang at Live Aid.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't. That can't
I just
be right.
like the imagery of you, because you said it as me.
Here it is.
Oh, is this Pop Hunna?
Play it louder.
I like it.
I guess. Corvette, hopping in
motherfucking jet like jet. That's it. Them and them and them like that. They were like, Pop, why you all like that? Why you tall like that? Why you all like that? It's La Uzi Vert. I'm off at Eddie, I'm up. I don't want no time to relax. Yeah. I turn it 2 to 4 and I turn a 5 to a stack. So let me tell you something.
Yeah. I think Robbie's going to be able to relate because one time. I gave Robbie, I go, hey, listen, this song you're not going to like, but the chorus is really good, so get to the chorus.
Yeah.
It was called Beautiful Skin by Goody Mob.
All right.
And CeeLo Green is in that band, but you have to get past the rap to hear that. And I sent him, I was very specific about what I wanted Robbie to do.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't listen to that fucking shit. Like, he got pissed off. I go, Robbie, you didn't do what I asked you. This story I'm telling is probably 10 years old, right?
Yes.
So, but when Katie plays music like this.
Yeah.
I don't say a word because I want to be a good husband, but I fucking hate that shit. I do. That stuff does not work for me on any level. To hear that?
I was indifferent.
Yeah, I don't. If that was on, I would immediately turn it. Immediately.
I do recognize the song.
Really?
Because I'm addicted to TikTok.
You are?
What?
Yeah. You are? Whoa, back up. You're addicted to TikTok?
Okay, define addicted.
Like, I can't wait to get on and then watch just... Spent an hour
seriously
scrolling through videos. Yeah.
Huh, I wonder if Katie's here. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Hold on.
She knows. I think I told Katie this.
You are literally spending an hour each day that you look forward to watch TikTok. Look at TikTok videos.
Yeah.
And you specifically like the dance things.
I didn't say I like the dance things. I just heard that song.
Okay. When you see that, do you scroll to the next one or do you give it a like? Or
it depends.
All right.
Yeah. I was hoping Katie was here because Katie. Well, so, okay, he's 30 years old, too, Robbie. There's a big difference between how old are you? 54, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Katie will sit in that chair, and she will scroll through TikTok for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. 2 hours is a lot for me. But throughout the whole day, I might get close to that.
I was into it for about a week. I was never doing 2 hours or even an hour.
Yeah.
But then I just deleted it.
Some things I don't get.
You know, I figured it was very repetitive.
Well, they'll be like, hey, this happened, this happened, this happened, but if you want the reveal, you got to subscribe to my channel.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not subscribing to the channel. This shit's going to be dumb. I'm not doing all that. So as soon as I realized that they were trying to, whatever they were trying to do, freemium me or whatever the hell, I was like, I'm not participating.
What were the chances, what would you have given that Robbie had knew that song? Was it one out of 100, one out of 1,000?
I would have, I mean, if you would have said, I'll bet you $100, I wouldn't have bet 1 to 100 because I wouldn't have wanted to win $1.
Sure.
But I would have bet 10.
Yeah.
You could have won yourself $100.
I could have, yeah.
Because I was like, no way.
I definitely didn't know what the name or the artist was.
Right.
If you said to me, Robbie loves TikTok and watches it an hour a day, I would have said, there's no fucking way that's possible. Here's a guy who's like, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that.
Well, he's speaking of... what he doesn't have time to do, we talked about on the Boner Show.
Yeah, listen to the Boner Show.
It doesn't help your cause if you're so busy, Rob.
Yeah, that's TikTok is like the last thing I do to kind of like, I'm like in bed.
You said the same thing about television, that you do that too. Yeah, you watch a lot of TV, and that's also unwinding. How much unwinding do you need?
A lot.
6 hours of unwinding.
Well, here's a show.
After TV, I go upstairs to bed, and that's my TikTok time.
I'm currently watching a show. I'm telling you, for a fact, it's the worst show that I've ever just stuck with and watched. And it is bad. I mean, really, really bad.
What is it and how did it get on your radar?
Okay, it's called Stargirl. Okay. Now, let me tell you something about Stargirl.
So, Robbie's into TikTok and you watch a show called Stargirl.
Yeah.
Is it on the CW?
No. It sounds like it would be on the CW, but it's on HBO Max. Okay.
All right.
Here's what happens. It's about a girl. She's in high school.
Yeah.
She gets superpowers. That stuff is real. That's the kind of shit I love.
You love a teen girl coming of age, and you
love it. Yes,
and you love what?
When the origin story.
Origin stories.
I love the origins. It had all the things like Robbie likes time travel. So as long as it has
and
time
TikTok.
Travel in it, it could suck, right? If they could somehow combine time travel and TikTok,
it's a Back to the Future TikTok.
Yeah, if there was a Bachelor, but you went back in time and you.
There are a lot of Back to the Future themed TikTok.
Of course,
videos.
There are.
And those are, of course, your favorite. But anyway, so Stargirl, I started watching Stargirl. Luke Wilson's in it. And I love Luke Wilson. We just watched Idiocracy, which is what a fucking great movie, right? But anyway, so I'm like, oh, Luke Wilson's in it. Amy Smart's in it. All right, maybe this thing, I'm going to give this a shot. And it's really, 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 really bad.
But you've watched the whole thing almost.
I'm on episode 11.
Of how many?
That's a good question.
Wrapping up, right?
I haven't really looked
to
see.
53 episodes, the first
season.
I'm
fine with whatever. It ended in a way, I'm like, huh, I wonder if that's the last episode. And then they're like, episode 11. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to keep going.
If there's a cliffhanger in the finale, are you going to come back next season?
It's hard to watch because Katie's like, I'm not watching that. So I have to kind of, you know what I mean? I got to find some way to get to it. So I watched it today.
Is that your wind down show?
No, I was working today, and of course, I didn't pay attention to half of what was going on, you know. By the way, it's the same show every time.
You're just trying to get to the end.
She's not, Luke Wilson is her stepfather. She finds some magical staff. She won't listen to him. He knows what's up. The mother doesn't.
Right.
She keeps disobeying him. He keeps saying your life's in danger, and it goes on every single fucking episode. It never changes. She does. By the way, her life isn't in danger, because every time she goes to fight these people, nothing happens to her.
Nothing happens.
So, yeah, she's... She ended up in the hospital once, but it was
Who's the chick, the star?
I don't know, but I looked up her age because she's super hot, but she's also represents herself as a 15-year-old, so I have to be like, all right, what up? But she's 21, thank God. But, yeah, I don't know her name. She'll never be in anything else because she's a fucking horrible actress. But she's adorable, so, you know, whatever that means. But,
Tawanda thinks I'm in love with Dua Lipa.
Who's that?
Well, I see, I watch The Voice, and sometimes they have a segment where they have, like, an advisor on.
Can you spell the name?
D-U-A, space.
Oh, there she is. Okay. Let's
no, see. She's a huge pop star. She's just on Saturday Night Live. But I just actually like her music. It's very up-tempo dance music, and I run to it because I'm
Does
on the treadmill
like
now.
That song we heard earlier?
No, it's better than that.
God, let's hope.
So I keep, like, but I'm showing her music to Tawanda because I feel like she would like it. And she's like, oh, is this your hall pass chick? And I'm like, I mean, she's attractive. But
oh,
no,
this chick's an 11. This girl right here?
Yeah,
no,
she's gorgeous.
Yeah, of course. Look at this. What's she wearing? That's not a shirt. It's got a big hole in it.
Please show him a picture of Stargirl.
Yeah, Stargirl's adorable. Do you think she's cute, Robbie, Stargirl?
I just want him to see the picture.
All okay, right. Here's Stargirl. Here she is, Stargirl. Hey, is that her? That's not her. Hey, here she is. Here she is as a child.
That's
not what she looks like now. This is what she looks like, right?
All right.
So here is...
You gotta go to images.
Oh, sorry,
I
know.
I don't
want to
Google search it.
Okay, sorry, guys. Here I go. So start... What? How do I get there? Stargirl.
Go back.
Let me try this. Here's what I'm going to do.
Screw this up.
Robbie, stop driving.
Teamwork here.
I'm going to do this. Stargirl.
Yeah.
Girl, and then I'll go to images here.
There you go.
Here's Stargirl. So I got to see her. This is, okay.
And she's
this
supposed
is,
to be how old?
So this is what she looks like in Stargirl. This is her.
Yeah, that looks like a horrible show.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me.
That's exactly what I thought just based on the picture. I know this is going to suck.
I don't know what's more ridiculous, that you're watching this or Robbie's on TikTok every night.
Yeah. No, this is.
Somehow me being into Dua Lipa
is the least thing.
But then I told Tuan, I think my hall pass. Actually, it's probably Wonder Woman, but I'd like Lily James is the name that I said.
Oh, yeah, Lily James is hot. So her name is Breck Basinger, and I'm like, oh,
what?
I go, that must mean she's, it must be Alec Baldwin. No, she does some random. So here she is. Come on, look. So this girl's definitely attractive,
right? Of course.
Yeah, so there she is. She's 21.
I've seen her in something.
You have? What else could she possibly have been if she's the worst actress?
When she was actually 15,
He saw her on TikTok.
God, she is so horrible.
He follows her on TikTok, of course.
I'm not listening to you again for the 1,000th time. I'm like, all right, I got it. Something bad's going to happen.
We're skewing so young in this episode.
Yes. Yeah, so, oh, God, look at her. She's been in a lot of different things. So she was in The Goldbergs.
Nice.
The Haunted Hat. But look, Kechner's one episode.
On that show.
One episode. Oh, no, she was on two episodes, 3 years apart. The Haunted Hathaways, she was on a recurring role.
Nice.
School of Rock, at the TV show.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, nothing you would have heard of. Chicken Girls.
I hadn't heard of this either, the one that she's on now. So.
Hey, she's finally Stargirl. This is when she got her big break. Oh, wait a minute, she was in 47 Meters Down. That was that horror film where you went down there and sharks would eat you and stuff like
that. Do you watch every superhero thing now? Because I know you...
I don't. Like, I never watch Gotham. No, I don't.
No. I watch Arrow a little bit, but I'm not really.
Didn't watch it. All our friends watch that. Now, if they're teenagers, Like Sky High, I'll watch. Yes. Sky High, by the way, is awesome. Have you seen Sky High, Robbie?
Yeah, it's pretty old.
Yeah, Sky High is great. So if it's teenagers and they're the superheroes, yeah, I'm in. I'll watch that for sure. I'm also, I watched the documentary on the Bee Gees.
I was going to segue into that, Joe.
All right, well, this was the segue.
You just went and said it. Let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about something that's what people our age talk about. The Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
It's been a rough year for all of us, so let's get together and celebrate 2020 finally coming to a f***ing end. Join us for a night of drinks, comedy, and roasting of 2020. This New Year's Eve Comedy Bash stars 98 Rocks, Wendy Townsend, and Rob Mayer, as well as Magoobie's favorites, Tommy Cimbazzo, the legend Sonny Fuller, and your boy, Eric Woodworth. But don't do it just for me. Do it for my sweet children.
Please come to our daddy's show, or else we can't have Christmas! He needs money! Or else I'll f*** you until you die. Ba, ba, ba!
Sounded a bit extreme. Happy New Year, and good riddance, 2020.
One night only, New Year's Eve at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Is that me? Did I sing that? Yeah.
Catchy.
Yeah, that's good.
Just get to the chorus.
I can't believe they didn't use that in the actual song.
Is that Goody Mob?
No, that is, I believe that's, well, it's Gary Glitter originally, and that was sampled by Joan Jett in the song Do You Want to Touch, right,
Correct.
Robbie? And
Correct.
Then it was again sampled in the song, the new Green Day song, whatever that song is, and it's
gotcha.
It's awesome. But anyway, it works.
So the new Bee Gees documentary is on HBO.
Yeah, and here, did you see it yet, Robbie?
I just watched the preview. I don't have HBO Max.
Yeah, so this will ruin nothing.
It's not on main HBO?
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know. I saw it on HBO Max, but it might be on main HBO. And look, there, I'm not going to spoil anything. There's nothing I'm going to tell you that you don't already know, but I am going to tell you this.
For it's great, you, right?
Well, I know the story, right? I know what happened to the Bee Gees, mm-hmm. right? And, God, I saw it, and I got so fucking angry when I watched it. And here's why. You know, the Bee Gees, they were contemporaries of the Beatles.
Yeah.
And the Beach Boys and the Stones. They were from London or England. They were from the Isle of Man, but they lived in England.
Shout out Dan Ninen.
But they grew up in Australia.
They were born in the Isle of Man. That's where they were born and raised. Now Andy Gibb was born in England, so they might have spent some time in Australia as well. Maybe that's where they cut their chops. I don't remember that, but I do remember them talking about the Isle. By the way, I don't even know where the Isle of Man is, other than that I was threatened to a fight to the death there. But you probably are right, Robbie.
I've seen the VH1 documentary, which was great. Those VH1 specials, a lot of times they suck because they weren't allowed to use the artist's music. But the Bee Gees participated in that.
Gotcha.
And it was good.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, my point is this, is that these guys kept kind of, you know, they broke up. Do you know that, Robbie? When they were young, they broke up.
Yeah, I think I'd heard that story.
They broke up for like 7 years.
That's
but
a
this
long
is,
time.
Their first time they ever recorded was like in 1955. I think Barry was 9. I mean, that's how long ago it was, right? So what ends up happening is these guys are doing some great things. They're making great music. And the very first song where Barry Gibb sang in that falsetto, do you know what that was, Robbie?
It was, I know, I can't think
Adderall, of it. Corvette, Corvette.
It was The Lights on Broadway.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And what happens is it's like there's something missing. So he does this background himself in the falsetto, living in the nights on Broadway, where they sing it really high. I'm sure that'll now be in a song.
Yeah.
And then people came to kind of know that as a signature of theirs, and they started doing that. That basically became what their music was, singing in that style. Well, they were killing it. They were making great music, and they're like, hey, we're coming out with this movie, Saturday Night Fever. We want you guys to do the soundtrack. And they put 3 songs on it, and they're all fucking all-timers, right?
Yeah.
Staying Alive, Night Fever, and what's the other one, Robbie? More Than a Woman or How Deep Is Your Love? What's one of these others?
Classic. emotion they wrote, but they had a woman sing it.
Yeah.
And more than a woman was them. And they had Tavares also recorded a version of that song on that soundtrack.
Right. Well, there's three Bee Gees songs on there. Maybe that's what they are.
I'm pretty sure they wrote every song on that soundtrack.
They can't, because The Fifth of Beethoven is on there, and that was written by Ludwig van Beethoven. but I hear you. I mean, they were obviously a big part.
They didn't write that.
And that album, it was the number one selling album of all time.
Yeah.
At the time. Now, obviously.
Up until Thriller.
Yeah. What year is this?
77, something like that, Robbie. Something like that.
But you heard that music way into 79.
Sure, of course.
Because you could not get them off the top 10 of the charts.
Yeah, there was one time where they had the top three songs, all that stuff.
And then Andy Gibb came out with his album, and they were on the charts at the same time.
Right, so Barry Gibb wrote all those songs as well. Shadow Dancing.
And they sang backup on his album, and they toured with him.
I want to get to why Joe's angry.
Yeah, so what happens is that then these guys are so giant that, you think about it, I think nothing can get that big without things getting fucked up. I just think nothing can.
Absolutely correct.
And what happens is they become so prolific that people start trying to imitate this genre, and Disco Duck comes out, The Hustle, all this bullshit comes out that sucks. And they then take the Bee Gees and they label them a disco group, and they put them in with all this shit.
As the face of disco music.
And they say, no more. And they stop playing them on the radio. They stop playing the band that just put out the number one album in fucking history, no more. And by the way, it was that one guy had a lot to do with it. And I can't remember his name, but Robbie, you can probably look it up while we're talking.
He was a radio DJ.
He was a DJ.
Dahl.
And he was a DJ in Chicago, and they had some death to disco night or whatever, and they burned a bunch of disco records. And of course, there was a guy who was an usher there who they talked to, and what he said is so terrifying. He's like, you know, people were not distinguishing. Like, he looked in there and he saw Marvin Gaye's What's Going On in there. And Miles Davis is in there, right? Curtis Mayfield is in there, right? And he sees this thing and goes, wait a minute. This isn't disco.
No, these are legends.
And so now they tried to give it a spin to where it was, you know, it was a racial thing. And by the way, it may have been. I'm not saying. But I think it was more somebody, and this is what always concerns me, speaking something into truth, which bothers me.
Yeah.
Because what happens is you float something out there, and whether or not, like, I think about a guy like, you know, like Chris Hardwick, who all of a sudden he had an ex-girlfriend who was vindictive and said that wrapped him up in the Me Too movement.
Right.
They go back and they look into it, Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
And they look, and then ends up they do James Franco. He had a girl that said that she forced him to have oral sex with her, and then they later dated.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like, okay, you know, we used to talk about this before, but you just speak something into truth and then ruin it. So here's the Bee Gees, and let me tell you something. I genuinely think this. If you're somebody who did something that prevented the Bee Gees from being heard by people, you know, listen, if there's an afterlife, there's a price to pay for something like that. I mean it.
Yeah.
You can't take something like that, so beautiful, and just remove it from the lexicon. You can't do it without consequence. And that's exactly what happened. Now, think about what they did, and you know what they did.
And that's what's happening today with things.
Well, what happens, right, speaking something into truth. That's what I'm saying. And
no one's wearing masks when everyone's wearing a mask?
Well, listen, some disco sucks.
Yeah.
So that was okay.
Right.
But, you know, we talk about that. That's the reason I do the parallel to the Me Too, is that a lot of that is true, and that needed to be addressed.
Right.
But then you speak something in the truth. Next thing you know, every political candidate is a rapist.
Right.
Every judge that gets nominated is a racist. Every celebrity you don't like is a racist. I mean, I'm sorry, is a rapist.
That's fine. Both work.
And you keep doing that. You keep doing that. And eventually all this credibility is gone. But what this guy did and what this group of people, because I remember thinking disco sucks, Robbie. Do you remember that as a kid?
Well, it did start to suck after a while.
Right, but the Bee Gees were not that.
No. But Robbie said something to you in text that angered you.
So he said they were the best and worst thing to happen to disco, and it bothered me. Disco was the worst thing, maybe, but it's not the worst thing that happened to them, because people figured it out. You know what I mean?
But they weren't creating disco music. They were just creating music.
Well,
they came before disco.
Well, disco
right?
was...
Not really. Disco was already a big trend.
Yes, and they were making other music.
Right.
And then
they'd already
They were asked to make themselves. Disco music.
Right, and okay. they could, they're so fucking awesome, they can do anything you ask them to do.
Right.
So they make this music, and it's incredible, and it gets too big, and it tumbles over. That's what happens. And so this guy now says, this sucks, so these guys suck, and now these guys don't have a place on the airways in the United States of America. They can't be heard. It's like, oh, I guess we have to write songs. So now Barry Gibb and Robin Gibb and Morris Gibb, they go out and they're writing bangers left and right, Islands in the Stream and Grease, this theme song Grease. And they're just writing number one hits over and over again because these fucking idiots have taken them and ruined that part of their career. And that, again, when I saw that, it did enrage me because that's what goes on in Twitter. You just say something.
Yeah.
And once you speak it into truth, then you have an army of people to go back and support that. We see that on our own text string. And that stuff frustrates me, and mainly because who knows what they would have done if this fucking guy didn't hamstring them. And that's exactly what happened. But I do want Robbie to explain how they're the worst thing that happened to disco.
I never said that they were the worst thing.
What's your exact quote?
I said they were the best and worst, meaning they became so huge that, like you said, it toppled over. I mean,
but
it was
that's not
out.
Their
that's,
fault.
Yeah,
I don't say it's their fault. It's definitely not their fault. I never said it was their fault.
And I don't
all
even
I'm
know.
Saying is that you're right. Something that becomes so big, there's going to be backlash. But the good part of the story is they were very successful. You don't need to feel sorry for them. I mean, their story is not a happy one.
No, it's
one
not
in the
that,
end.
Robbie. It's not that I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for me. I don't feel sorry for them. I mean, Barry.
You think you missed out on some Bee Gees music because of that?
Of course we did.
They
couldn't get
prime.
Played on the radio, Robbie. The radio stopped playing the Bee Gees.
If they were able to write hits for other people, they could have written hits for themselves.
Yes, they
too.
Could not.
There was never a time when the Bee Gees were off the radio. There was a time when they were out of fashion.
Robbie.
And that particular soundtrack was out of fashion. But the Bee Gees were never off the radio, Joe.
Yeah, Robbie, then these guys just did a documentary where they lied. Let me tell you another story.
Steve Dahl was just speaking a sentiment that other people felt. And again, the Bee Gees got caught up in it because they became the face of disco.
Robbie, I'm telling you, that's what this documentary said.
I understand. The
that
documentary
they couldn't
probably
get played.
Overstates
okay,
Steve
but,
Dahl's
but,
power.
No, they didn't. Robbie, hear me out. They didn't overstate Steve Dahl. You can decide however you feel about that. Their airplay was limited because they became out of vogue. Nobody thought it was cool anymore to like the Bee Gees. You can say what you
soundtrack,
want.
That soundtrack.
Robbie, you're wrong about this.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
I want to know how many Bee Gees songs performed by them or written by them does Gramps know?
He knows none. I don't even think he knows Stayin' Alive.
He doesn't know Islands in the Stream. That's Kenny Rogers
he
and Dolly Parton.
He doesn't know it. He
but
doesn't
those are
that
two
song.
Country legends.
He doesn't know it. Robbie?
He doesn't know Islands in the Stream?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't want to embarrass him, but I don't think he knows it.
I bet if I'm not
come
saying
in, I'll bet he can sing
if
it. I'll bet
he hears
he can
it,
sing
he'll
it.
Recognize it.
It's
I'm not
possible.
Saying he
knows no, that's
the name.
That's quite possible. That's quite possible. But look, this is the point I'm trying to make. The songs that they did before, right? To Love Somebody, How to Mend a Broken Heart. Where were those getting played, Robbie? Wash FM. You see what I'm saying? Like the pop stations where you go in order to be heard and to be marketable were not playing the Bee Gees. You know, I don't want to get into semantics here, but I'm sure you could go to Wash FM and hear How Deep Is Your Love. It's possible, right? But you couldn't go to Q107 or whatever the hip stations were and turn it on and hear the Bee Gees in the late in 1980. You couldn't. Okay. So all I'm saying is that they had to become something different. And if you don't think that we missed out on some music when they were at their apex, well, I'm just going to highly disagree that we definitely did. And we missed out on that music because one guy, let me tell you another story, Robbie. You might remember this from Steve Miller's telling this on the Howard Stern show.
Steve Miller, Drew Miller's father?
Not right. Not that Steve Miller, but a Steve Miller almost as great.
Okay.
And by the way, if you go to see the Steve Miller Band in concert, he's going to play 15 songs and you're going to fucking know all of them.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy's prolific, okay? So what happens is he puts out a song. Robbie, do you remember the song?
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra.
Wanna
reach in 1983, it was a number one song.
Yeah.
At one point in time, America decided that there was not a better song in the world than Abracadabra. Okay. Now, is Abracadabra one of the greats of all time? Here's the thing. God, you know, I guess it's like Sussudio. It might be corny, but everybody still knows this song, right?
Yeah.
So they use it in a commercial, Abracurl Dabra, for a curling iron. I'm telling you. So there was something about this song that had staying power. Anyway, and it was a number one song. Steve Miller then went over to the United Kingdom or Europe to tour. Somebody in Rolling Stone magazine writes that this, what is this drivel? What is this shit? That had, that made it then not cool to like Steve Miller. Here's a guy who's playing arenas. He goes to Europe. He has the number one song in America. He comes back, can't get heard. Nobody gives a shit about him anymore. They don't want to see him anymore. Do you remember him telling this story, Robbie?
Vaguely, yeah.
So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's like, okay, that's fine. But what about Jet Airliner? What about The Joker? By the way, The Joker is one of the great songs in history. The Joker?
Take the money and run.
Yes.
Well, what about, I mean, this is years ago. What about now? Where everything is driven by social media and who pushes
it's
you.
Worse now.
I mean, it's, there are probably tons of art, musical artists that could be giants that will never be discovered.
Yeah, well, I don't
they
know.
They might make a living doing, they might be in some wedding band, and or they might winning karaoke contests, but.
And I don't know if that wasn't always the case.
But I.
You know, there's studio musicians, and there's a documentary on them, I can't remember the name of them, Robbie's going to know. For Motown, they played on, they're on every song.
Right. Yeah.
It's the same guy. Like the guys in the what's the name? The Swampers, the guys from Muscle Shoals. They're on 1,000 songs that are staples. And, you know, they were what they were. I don't know if they're rich. I don't know if they're poor, but they are so important, right? And you always think about that. There's somebody who's better than LeBron James in the 360 million people on this globe that might never, for whatever circumstance, never picks up a basketball, never gets the opportunity. That you can't really avoid that. And there's, God.
But even you watch these The Voice and American Idol, even these people with that just being seen by 15 million people a week, they don't go on to do anything.
No, you know, it's
and
funny
they clearly
you say
can
that.
Sing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because, like, what's the name of the guy, Robbie Soul Patrol, that won American Idol? Taylor Hicks.
Yeah.
What's he worth?
I don't know. I mean,
where's he heard?
Last I heard, he's doing county fairs. I mean, you had your outliers.
Yeah.
The Kelly Clarksons and the Carrie Underwoods and the Adam Lamberts and Jennifer Hudsons. I mean, you had some that have done things, and they're probably people that have done some Broadway. But, I mean, especially The Voice. That show is about the judges.
Yeah, no, 100%. Taylor Hicks' net worth is $2 million. He's the winner of American Idol.
Yeah.
So, again, not that you would measure yourself on your net worth. As an artist, maybe he doesn't. But, you know, that's not necessarily your ticket.
No.
So, let me just go back to the original topic. All things come back around because the Bee Gees did have a comeback in the mid to late 90s, and they recorded a special, and they played all their old songs, and now kids today know Bee Gees songs.
Yeah, so did Kiss, so did Steve Miller. Like I get, so, hey, the Backstreet Boys, like these people that kind of are become a punchline, then become cool again. I like that, and usually that comes from
John
merit.
Travolta, the actor.
You're right. Yeah. Yes. Next thing you know, he's in Look Who's Talking. You're like, what? And then he's in Pulp Fiction, and now all of a sudden he has merit again. You're 100% correct. But I guess, Robbie, what I'm saying is that people kind of get it and go, wait a minute, these guys are, they're great. But would you admit that there might be some things that we would have been able to hear that we never got to hear because there was no vehicle for them? And I say that even today, I think about music and I'm like, all right, if the Rolling Stones came out today, who'd play them?
You mean what radio station?
Maybe 98 Rockwood. I mean, you know. What about the Beatles? Who'd play them? Where would the Beatles get heard? You know, you know, 98 Rock doesn't play the Beatles right now.
Right.
Okay?
That's
They're
true.
Widely considered the greatest band in history. I'm pretty sure the only station that plays the Beatles right now is the Bay. I'm pretty sure, locally, if you're local. And that's a classic rock station. And they play everybody. But the rock station that I'm on that plays a little bit of history, your classic rock, and then a lot of modern rock, and it's 50-50. They don't play the Beatles. So, you know, you're right. I worry about that kind of stuff, and I'm not sure. I do think that it's important. We talk about the arts all the time. I think the arts are getting completely fucked right now, and I think it's dangerous, and I do think they need to be protected, and it's very surprising that my entire life, the left has been very protective of the art so much so that they defended Robert Mapplethorpe's Christ Piss, and I can go on and on about how far they would stretch the narrative in order to make sure that these things are not censored. Now, Live PD can't be on the air. Now,
right.
Comedy clubs can't be open. You see,
that's not a censorship. It's a different issue, but yeah.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying we're not protective of it.
Right.
We're not protective of it. Yeah. So all I'm saying is, Robbie, you're probably right, and I know I've been talking about this a long time. You're probably right that people do respect. Nobody still thinks the Bee Gees are shit. That's been passed over, and people are like, God, what was the matter with us? These guys were awesome. But, I mean, would you admit we may have missed out on something that should have been available to us?
I think that there was probably music that the Bee Gees put out during a certain period from the mid-80s all the way up until the mid-90s where you didn't hear them on the radio, but they were still knee-deep in music. A lot of it's just fashion, Joe, you know? A lot of it has less to do with somebody speaking something in the truth than it does that things just, people just move on and they're interested in other
different
kinds of music.
But that's not it. Sorry, I know we want to move on from this drop, but that's not it. They are at their apex. It's not, they didn't move on, okay?
But
these guys are still young.
They built something so, like you said, they built something so big it was bound to topple over, that's all.
Right, but you're acting like they were still putting out album after album after album after album, and they weren't. You know, there was one year, I think I saw they put out three albums in one year. So you have to understand that type of creativity also has to come with the demand, and the demand wasn't there. So that you didn't get... This is just my opinion. By the way, this can't be proven because I know Bee Gees' music existed in a time where they were having difficulty getting heard on the air. I know that.
Sure.
Did we get everything
but
that we could have gotten? I doubt that we did.
You and I are just splitting hairs on why it is that they weren't on the air. Some of it had to do with a sentiment that was out there, and some of it just had to do with that's just things go in and out of fashion.
Well, yeah, but Robbie, sorry, Rob, I know, but they didn't go out of fashion because they kept writing music that was hits.
Well, which is it? They were heard on the air. They weren't. I heard them on the Grease soundtrack. I heard
Robbie,
them in a lot of places.
Okay, but now that was the whole point I was making originally. They had to write songs because they had to distance themselves as a group because that group was associated with something bad.
You're right. The name Bee Gees. You're right.
Well, I mean, I guess if you don't care that Barry Gibb's voice was silenced, and I just read a list that he's one of the 10 greatest male vocalists in music history. So, I mean, yes.
He produced the Barbara Streisand album. He was
on
the album.
And he was on the cover. I understand that. Yes, you're right. Where was the Barbara Streisand album getting played? It wasn't getting played on the pop stage.
The idea that someone that can write
that's actually incorrect.
That can write music like that and has one of the greatest voices of all time, it seems like that would be the recipe to play that person as often as possible.
Yeah, and Robbie's probably right. That song probably did get played on pop stations. I've faced the same thing with my dad. It's not so important for me to be right, but I happen to think that I am. I do. Happen to think that I am.
I think Robin actually had the better voice.
Moving on. Speaking of music real quick, and then we'll take a break and talk about someone who also is making a comeback.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I was on with Marianne last week. And I'm glad that...
Marianne Sirk of the Kirk and Marianne Show.
I'm glad you weren't recording, Robbie, because I know when Joe sings, you record, and then it comes back and haunts him. Well, we did a story, it went viral, that Smokey Robinson did a cameo.
Oh, yeah.
And he said...
Chinooka,
because it's Hanukkah, can be spelled with a C-H, wishing this guy, a woman, a happy Chinooka. And we did that story on the air, and I wrapped it up by saying, I second that emotion. And she's like, oh, is that one of his songs? I go, yeah, it's one of his songs. And then I go, you don't know Smokey? I said, you don't know Smokey Robinson? I said, Tracks of My Tears. She goes, I don't know that. So she goes, sing it. So then I start singing it. And I'm like,
you did?
Yeah, it was horrible. I'm like, Will, please play the song. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not know this song? All right.
Yeah.
And then she, oh, yeah, I do know that one. But these aren't deep cuts. These are Smokey Robinson.
And it's funny because you're like, what's the biggest Smokey Robinson song? I mean, God, there's a million.
It's
right?
The one that his biggest song is the one that Temptations sang.
Yeah, My Girl. I mean, I think as I'm thinking an actual Smokey Robinson sang song. Shop Around was big. They had a lot of he had a bazillion hits. He even had a later career, Cruisin'.
Yeah, Cruisin'.
Yeah, yeah. He had
Tracks of My Tears is in Platoon.
Ooh, Baby, Baby. Yeah. God, no, he had a bazillion hits.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Rob and Joe Show. Hey, guys. Patreon. We do a show every month. It's behind the scenes. It's things you wouldn't necessarily hear about. It's, I think, the best Patreon in the world, having never listened to anyone else's, but that's what I think.
Well, I think about other Patreon episodes that other really popular podcasts do, and it's just an extra episode.
Exactly.
There's no distinction between what they normally do and this. It's just like, you can't get this content unless you pay. But ours, if you pay, you literally get information that is not available. It's specific to the people on the show, the things that we do, the different professions that we have.
Some gigs or jobs that we have that we might not want to say what happened.
Famous people.
Yes.
And we disclose a lot of things, and we talked about this before, but there's a level of trust that we, one time somebody broke that trust. I'm going to tell you exactly what it was.
And we murdered that person.
Mike Anderson, who was a former producer of the Justin Scott and Spiegel show, had resigned and was moving to Florida to...
Joe, this is supposed to be an ad for a
I know,
Patreon.
I'm getting there.
Now you're telling a story. Robbie's hating me.
To produce another show, and I told that on the bonus show,
right.
But I asked him if I could, and he said yes. Then somebody went up to Justin, and he goes, hey, I heard of Mike Anderson. And he goes, where'd you hear that? And he goes, the Robin Show bonus show. That's the only time somebody ever fucked us.
But it probably helped us get more listeners. So
it did.
It almost worked out for us. But hey, it's $5 a month. You can give more. We greatly appreciate it. It's the best deal going. Check it out. Robin Joe Show Patreon.
The Robin Joe Show.
So someone that we haven't talked about in a while that we sort of mentioned loosely tonight, shout out Isle of Man, Dan Ninen posted on Instagram that he recovered from 5 years of some sort of traumatic brain injury.
Seriously?
And that he's okay now. I didn't know that he was sick, but hope you're doing fine.
I'm 74, and I'm gay.
And then around the same time, in this past week, you know, on our YouTube page, we haven't put a video up in a year, in 10 years.
Yeah.
But is when Dan Ninen was arrested at the DC Improv for punching the reporter, and we have a clip of that. Somebody says, same loco guano, Dan Ninen is a lot funnier than these two unfunny clowns. Dan makes major bank doing corporate shows, flying first class, mind you. And then this person says this, have you seen my car? ? You wish you could be as rich and successful as Dan. So in the middle of that, he goes, and Robbie pointed this out, have you seen my car?
He accidentally refers to himself
yes.
in the first person. But here's the deal. You can't have it both ways. If you say, hey, listen, I had significant brain damage.
Yeah.
I'm 65. You're however old he is. I'm 65.
Well, yeah.
I have done corporate gigs. I've misrepresented myself. I've done this. I'd like to try to do it correctly. I'd like to do A, B, C, and D and apologize to anybody who was in my way when I had that thing going on. But I had brain damage. If he said that.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Well,
dude.
We certainly hope that he's fine. We don't want anybody to have brain damage. But I wonder what age will he say if it means getting the corona vaccine?
So I go, wait, let me finish making my point.
Oh,
my point is you can't have it both ways. Either you had brain damage, and therefore that was the reason for your erratic behavior, or you're sending these messages.
Well, it sounds like the reason he's been silent for a while.
Oh,
the brain issue.
Oh, not because.
Not a, yes.
Oh,
that's
God.
Not excusing his behavior. That's explaining his absence.
Yeah, it was all the bad publicity.
Oh my God,
yes.
That's so sad. You know, it's the rise and fall. Let me find the rise and fall of Dan Ninen, because every time I see it, because we had a discussion when it came out, the documentary,
how many views it would get.
Yeah, and I wasn't even close to being right, and now I am. Of course, it took a while, but it's been seen by almost 2 million people. Right, Dan Ninen. Here we go. The rise and fall of Dan Ninen. You want to know how many people have seen it, Robbie? Would you like to know?
80 million.
Yeah,
no,
right.
No.
It's probably 80,000.
Oh, shoot. No,
no, it's probably, is it?
1.6 million.
Wow.
Nice.
That's a lot of people.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good job, Dan. Good job, Oki.
Sorry to hear about your, by the way, here's the thing. I said this every single time we've talked about Dan.
Yeah.
Every single time. If Dan would have said, hey, look, I said a lot of bullshit. You know what? I'm not that guy anymore. Sorry for threatening your life. I'm like, dude, you know what? I probably wasn't great in this either, so apologies.
Yeah.
That would be the end of it.
Done.
But this guy's not built like that. By the way, he'll go anywhere. He also said he was bullied. It was anything that he can do to excuse this behavior, and now it's brain damage.
Shout out to Magoobie's Joke House for having us our final murder mystery of the year, a merry murder mystery. I believe that'll be the final time we ever do that one that we've done for 6 years. This past Sunday night at Magoobie's, we had 80 people, which is about as many. Max is 100. So for a Sunday, a foot Six NFL o'clock. Sunday.
It was light out.
We'll take it, you know. But really the star of the show was the many times mentioned Taylor Jenkins.
He won the shirt that I wouldn't give him. He was wearing it. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I think they bought that shirt out in Las Vegas.
What did I
there
give
with
him?
His Alice. I don't know what shirt you gave
Maybe
him, but you
a
gave
Halloween.
The shirt for Allison, his wife.
Okay, gotcha.
He was wearing this Back to the 80s shirt.
She was wearing a dress.
I know. She was really trying to, you know, go for it. God bless you. And then Taylor was like, no, I'm wearing my Back to the 80s t-shirt. Doing a completely different murder mission.
You wear what you want.
Yes.
You can wear that dress. I'm wearing a t-shirt. Real quick before you continue. 3 minutes ago, Gramps goes, what happened? No sound. And then he goes, it's back. You think it was him or you think it was an issue with us?
I think it's probably him. Mm-hmm. Yes. But we had a scene where Joe falls and dies and breaks this gingerbread house.
Hey, did I do a good job?
You did a great job. It was a very good death. Yeah. And then a gingerbread house that I had made a big to-do about having built it, and then it crashed into 1,000 pieces on the carpeted stage of Magoobies, and then just sort of laid there. And then Taylor Jenkins kept just grabbing it and eating it right off the floor during a pandemic. It was great. It was like... one-upping Eric Woodworth. Because really, in the show, the idea of the laugh will be Eric eating it.
Now audience members are eating it. Yeah, it was. I'm sure that would have been frowned upon by the health department, but I did laugh.
Yeah,
it was a fun show. You're probably right. That thing has probably worn out its welcome. If I'm not mistaken, it's the third one we ever wrote. The first one we don't do anymore.
I believe it is the third one, yes.
It's funny. The first one we don't do anymore, The Last Laugh.
Yeah. We probably don't do the second one anymore.
We don't really do the second one, which is the last time we did the Newly Dead game was at that place in D.C.
Deep City Winery, yeah.
Yeah, and then and now we got to write a new Christmas one.
Well, we got 6 years out of it. That's a pretty good run, I think.
Yeah, probably made a lot of money, that show.
We did. Not this year, but...
No, this year. By the way, I think we probably made zero, right?
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but hey. We'll be back. Well, not all of us. We're doing a New Year's Eve show, just a comedy show, roast of 2020, myself, Eric Woodworth, Tommy Simbazo, Wendy Townsend, 98 Rock. Check that
Sonny
out.
Sonny Fuller.
He canceled, but he's still on the flyer.
Oh, darn.
8 p.m. show. That's a wild, crazy New Year's Eve night. Be home.
Oh, so it's 10. 8 p.m. and it's 2 hours and then you're done. I guess it's got to be shorter than that because people got to get out of there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Should be fun.
You drive home, and then you can't even watch the ball drop.
It's a weird... Is there going to be a ball dropping?
How could there be? There's nobody that's allowed there.
From what I heard,
virtual ball?
Oh, is it a virtual ball drop?
It wasn't completely clear what they were doing because they were going to limit the number of people. I don't know how they're going to do that, but there is going to be a ball drop, apparently.
You can't be in Times Square and then not have any restaurants and bars open to accompany that whole
thing.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you worry. Mayor Cuomo has it all under control. Yeah. Governor Cuomo, what is he, this guy?
He's the governor of New York.
Yes.
He's the guy that, he's basically everything that J.L. Covan says about Trump. That's what he does.
Right.
But J.L. loves Cuomo.
He does?
I have no idea.
Oh,
I just know he's in his backyard and he just all Trump.
Yeah. He's got to hate Clunk. He's a smart guy. He can't think Cuomo.
You would think.
He's not that.
But he
partisan.
Has to protect his base because he has no more artistic freedom because, you know, he's now making so much money and the love by this Trump hating. Like Cuomo could just rape a child on TV and he couldn't say anything bad about it. He'd have to just, that's my guy.
God, I think he's got more integrity. I think he realizes this guy's the worst.
I hope so.
Yeah, he does. I haven't looked for that.
Yeah.
But also the fact that he hasn't mentioned it, that probably means something. He's got, I have to firmly believe he knows Cuomo's an incompetent turd. I'm sure he has
would
to know that.
I mean, the man wrote a book and when they've done the worst basically in the country with COVID.
Yes, haven't done it. Nobody's done worse than them.
Yes.
Not only his state, but his particular, the most important piece of his state, the city. Yes,
exactly.
They botched it every way possible.
Yeah, the economy, bars, restaurants, schools, just fucking shit
that's
show.
It's
basically like Dan Snyder writing a book about building a Super Bowl. Before this year, when they've, by the way, this is a great year for them. They're 6-8. That's how bad they've been. That this is a great year.
Oh man, that sucked. I really thought that they had a real shot at winning that game.
They almost
pulled
it out.
Yeah, that would have been amazing if you guys are paying attention to the Washington football team. There was one point I believe they were 2-7. Am I right about that?
Yes.
And they're like, all right, well, they might have a shot at having Trevor Lawrence, right? Maybe
yeah.
maybe the Washington football team have a shot at getting the best player that we've seen in several
yeah.
drafts. He's available. And then instead they win their next four games and now they're in first place.
Yeah, they're favored to win the division, make the playoffs. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And that was right before they went on their streak, our friend Tim, who former show announcer, our also former friend, now current friend,
yes,
he said they wouldn't win another game. And they've won two, and they've almost pulled out a third.
Our friend Tim, whenever I post a photo on Facebook, he immediately downloads it, saves it to his phone, and then texts the group this photo of me and then takes some shot at me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally within 2 minutes of me posting it on Facebook, it's now in our text string.
Well, you have to own some of that. You're the one yeah. posting it.
Hey, look, you know, I have to post more content. I mean, I did a lot of, I had a real week of work last week, Joe. I did.
Yeah, you did some bunch of Zoom comedy shows.
Six Zoom comedy shows I had filled in for Kirk on the radio with Marianne.
Oh,
we talked about that.
I know that. You were here.
Yeah, we had the murder mystery. Obviously, we did our Purple Power Hour and our normal Robin Joe stuff.
Oh, we're doing that tonight.
We are,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, shoot. We need to get going soon. We'll be doing that in, we'll be doing that in 30 minutes.
So I did, over the last 10 days, I did six DC Improv Zoom comedy kumites, and I won three. I got to the finals and all.
Nice.
So it's a good record. I'm happy with that. And
is it satisfying to, like, when you're performing and you don't kind of hear anything?
I've gotten a little better at it. And then I did just one for a corporate thing that Dr. Gill hooked me up with. Where if you get the people on the screen, they have to be, because their mics are off, at least for the improv ones, but you can see their faces. If they're reacting and giving you something, then
yeah,
you can
true.
Do it. But if they're not, and we had some where they're just guys just looking frowning. One time, one guy just got up and left in the middle.
Yeah.
There's only two people up there. I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
But you also, you don't, it's just like you're reciting your jokes, because there's laughter that you wait.
Yeah.
And here I'm just boom, ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom. But if you wait for laughter when you don't know if there is any, it's like,
oh, you
it's
should
just weird.
Be ranting, basically.
Yeah.
It'd be like the equivalent of me and Robbie having that Bee Gees conversation, and that's it. Right?
Exactly.
And then,
yes,
and
that's
then,
it.
Thank you. Good night.
But I feel like I'm getting better at it, and so at least there's some
yes,
joy
this is
in
the
that.
Future of comedy now.
Exactly.
It's not, right?
It's not. No, it's not.
Do live comedy will be back, correct?
100%.
Okay.
Will we? Do we want to do this Jeremy Woodward song and get out of here?
Why don't we play it as we leave? Give it a description of what it is.
This one doesn't need any kind of introduction.
All right, here's a new Jeremy Woodworth song. Give it a play.
Happy holidays. Warning you.
You know Adolf von Hitler and Goebbels and Goering, Heinrich and Mengele, Robert and Eichmann. But do you recall the second most important Nazi of all? Rudolf the imprisoned Nazi lived a very long, long life. Lived it inside a prison for his numerous genocide crimes. All of the other Nazis used to die and commit suicide. They never wanted to be caught by the Allied. Then one foggy July 20th, Hitler came to say, Rudolf, with your hate so bright, won't you build mine right tonight? Then all the Nazis loved him, but they shouted out, Heil! Rudolf, the Reichstag Nazi, you'll go down in history.
He doesn't know when to quit. I know there's another verse.
It's 2 minutes long. Longest song yet.
I doubt it.
Well, that we've played. Too bad we didn't have this for last night's murder mystery.
You know what's funny? You can go ahead and fade this out, Robbie. You know what's interesting is that, and then we'll get going, is that, you know, there used to be a sitcom called Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
where the Nazis were the buffoons.
Right.
And then Hogan and his, you know, confidants or whatever, they were basically using this concentration camp as their base to prison camp. Okay. And everybody kind of got it. You're having fun at the expense of the hated.
Yes.
Right. And then Mel Brooks did it as well. And you see it in Jojo Rabbit. Like, you see it being done, and it works. Right. And it's how you disarm hate.
Right.
It is how it's done. But you know that at least 50% of people, they don't get that. And they hear that and they think that you're glorifying it.
Yeah.
And now there's a problem. So Jeremy, you know, he's got to watch out. But
more than 50% of the people don't get Jeremy Woodworth.
Well, that's true. Robbie being one of them.
And I think that one was a swing and a miss. I mean, I like the idea of it, but it's all over the place.
I loved it. Mm. Hey, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all that good stuff. We will. We're not missing any shows. We'll be back next week to recap.
To say Happy New Year.
Yeah, to recap our amazing Christmases.
See you guys
later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.